We look at one verse. Somebody said of a preacher one time, said he read a text and departed therefrom, left it. And I'm going to do the same thing. But there again, Dr. R.G. Lee used to say, said you can take a text anywhere in the Bible you want to, as long as you end up at Calvary. And praise God, that's where I'm going. I want to bring you a very simple message this morning entitled, The Tree. Look with me, please, in Isaiah chapter 44. We dealt with most of this chapter last week. I preached on the Redeemer. But this morning, I call your attention to verse number 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth in singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Here he calls for the mountains and for the trees to sing because of what Jehovah God has done in redeeming us. He gave his son to die for us. One other verse in the book of Isaiah, and look in chapter number 55 and verse number 12. Isaiah 55 and verse number 12. And he says this, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Doesn't that bless you? That just blesses me to death. That when the Lord moves, the trees will sing and they'll clap their hands for joy. And I praise God. I'm like the feller said when the Lord came in Jerusalem and people were just rejoicing and praising God. And they said, the old hypocrite said, "Y'all be quiet." And they said, and the Lord said, he said, "If they will hold their peace, the rocks will cry out." But there's coming a day, my dear friend, when the trees and the mountains and will sing and shout for joy and clap their hands. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on the tree. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help me. Thank you for the wonderful singing of Black Creek and Brother Bobby and the choir and the congregational singing this morning was so beautiful and the playing of the instruments. Lord Jesus, our heart resounds with the message of the gospel. And our Father, the joy and gladness that is demonstrated here in what you've created in the singing of the trees and the clapping of their hands. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to help us to understand why our Father, the trees would rejoice at the Redeemer. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God this morning would speak to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. Lord, there's a vast number, millions and millions of people in this nation and around the world who have absolutely no joy. They have no peace. But God, I pray the Prince of Peace would come into hearts here this morning and through those in the red the audience and the internet. And God, I pray, God, they could find the peace of God that passeth all understanding by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God now would help me. Give me that anointing that'll make the difference. I want to magnify Jesus and I want folk to see Him and worship Him this morning. So God, use me. Take far from my mind and heart anything that ought not to be said. And God, give me liberty to say what you want me to say. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I am not a tree hugger, but I am a tree lover. Amen. I do love that old cross. There's a song that says, "I will cling to the old rugged cross." You do understand the tree I'm preaching about this morning is Calvary. Brother Brad said a while ago, the song the choir sang, which by the way was beautiful, it was not necessarily a Christmas song, but yet it is. What amazing grace is. And the message of the cross is a Christmas message. And here, throughout the Bible, trees are prominent. And when you go through your Bible, you'll notice that. I would remind you that it all started in the garden with a tree. You remember that? The Lord put Adam and Eve, created them, put them in that garden, said of all the trees of the garden of good and evil, you can eat anything you want except for one. And that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And guess what? Satan beguiled them and Eve took and she gave to her husband and he ate. And because of that, whereby one man's sin entered into the world, so death passed upon all men in that all have sinned. And it was through that tree, through their disobedience and partaking of that one tree that sin entered into the world. As you go through the Bible, you'll notice that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, Genesis chapter 6, that they began to be more wicked and more wicked every day. And finally, God said, that's it. I'm through. He said, my spirit will not always strive with man in it. He's flesh. Every thought, every imagination of their heart was only evil continually. And so God said to a man by the name of Noah, which, by the way, the song this morning was about grace. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And thank God for amazing grace. Amen. And you know what saved Noah? It was the grace of God, but it was a tree. It was a tree that saved Noah. He said, God told him, he said, you go and you build an ark of gopher wood. And that there were hundreds, no doubt, of trees cut down. And those trees became a haven of rest. And it saved them from the destruction of the flood. And thank God for the saving power of that tree. And if it had not been, you and I wouldn't be here today. And God provided that tree for salvation, even for Noah on that day when he and his family went into that ark made out of wood, and God provided that for them. And thank the Lord for that. And then as you go a little bit further, you'll find that as they began to wander in the wilderness, God gave them instructions of how to erect the tabernacle to worship. Every part of that tabernacle, the beams, the boards that held it up, everything made out of cedar and made out of a different kind of wood, and the acacia wood for the Ark of the Covenant and all of those things. God, they were trees, and those trees were there. And because of those trees, they had a place to worship. They had a place to assemble. And thank God, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, you and I can worship him. And then I was thinking about another place in the book of Exodus in chapter 15, when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and they were dying of thirst. And they came to a place called Marah. And the water there was bitter. I mean, it was poison. It'd kill you. And God, they cried out to God, and God showed Moses a certain tree, and he went and cut that tree down, and he threw that tree in that poison water. And when he did, the water became sweet. And thank God, I'm telling you, the tree can turn everything around for you. Did you know that? I mean, when your life is bitter and full of poison and full of death, there's a tree, my dear friend, that points to, as you look toward Calvary, that tree can turn your life from one of bitterness into sweetness. It's a tree called on the hill of Calvary. It's a cross of Christ. My dear friend, those trees in the Bible. And then when they came to a more permanent place, and that is when they built the temple, they took the cedars of Lebanon and other trees and olive wood. Some of the doors, it were made out of olive wood. And they made that beautiful temple. And the doors that came in were made out of olive wood. And then the cedars, the ceiling, and all, everything was sealed with cedar trees. Cedar, of course, is an evergreen tree. Speaks of everlasting life. And you know what? The Bible says that Joseph was buried in a coffin. And it was a hope chest, and that hope chest was made out of cedar. I remember used to, this was kind of a custom that young girls, by the time they turned 14, 15, 16 years old, a lot of them would get a cedar chest. And my daughter, my sister Jean had one. And they would, people were buying little things and putting it in. They called it a hope chest. And they put it in there, and I was in, just a little fella, and I went in, and she was putting some stuff in there one day. And I said to her, I said, Jean, what's that? And she said, that's my hope chest. And I said, what are you hoping for? And she said, well, they put me thing. And when I get married, that's my hope chest. I said, you might well call that a hopeless chest, because ain't nobody never going to marry you. But she did get married. After all, she did. But cedar, but those cedars speak of everlasting life and preservation. And thank God you can have everlasting life through the tree this morning, through the tree that I'm going to talk to you about in just a few minutes. But then I love the book of the Song of Solomon. And there's a tree that's prominent in the book of the Song of Solomon. And she said, I sat down under the shade of the apple tree, and his banner over me was love. Oh, listen, what a blessing to sit down under that apple tree. And it's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the vitality of it, the life of it, the nourishment of it, and the blessing of it. And his banner over her was love. And my dear friend, that banner over us is love. And when you look at Calvary, and you look at that cross, and look at these crosses, you might as well put a big banner over top of those crosses. Because what that cross says is, God loved you so much, he gave his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and to give his life a ransom. And thank God for that. But then, my dear friend, there's other trees throughout the Bible. I think about the old Zacchaeus. The Bible said Zacchaeus climbed up in the sycamore tree, and for the Lord he wanted to see. And the Lord stopped and called him down out of that tree. Boy, that tree stands in my mind as a place where he met God. My dear friend, Calvary is a place where you can meet the Lord. And you'll never know him as Savior until you meet him at Calvary. Meet him at the tree I'm going to talk to you about this morning. And thank God, trees throughout the Bible have a prominent place. And then you come ultimately all the way down to the end of the Revelation, and there's that tree of life. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 19. I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 33. It talks about this. He said, you're not to cut down all the trees, for the tree of the field is man's life. He said, when they come in and they do battle in a certain area, he said, you're not to cut down all the trees of the field, because the tree is the life of man. My dear friend, the only life you can ever find is in the cross of Calvary. And that's the only place you can ever find real life. In the book of Job cried out and he said, there's hope of a tree. And what he's talking about, he said, when you take and you cut that tree off, it'll begin to sprout back up. As long as the root's there and the stump is there, he says, there's a good chance it'll sprout back. But I'll tell you, the only hope you can find in this world is at Calvary, at the tree on Calvary's mountain. That's the only place you can find real hope today. In the book of Psalms, and chapter 1 and verse 3, he talks about that person who's blessed and has so many wonderful things. And that man, the Bible says, is like a tree planted by the waters, planted by the river. My dear friend, that tree, the only place you can find growth and blessing is in the tree called at Calvary. My dear friend, and then Psalms 104 and verse 16, he says this. He said, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. And boy, that means that it has life and vitality flowing through it. And when you're connected with him and you're part of him, what a blessing it is. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, he describes the saints of God as being trees of righteousness. They have become what Christ is. They are trees of righteousness. But just briefly this morning, I got three little things I'm going to say to you about the tree called Calvary. Number one, I want to talk to you about the curse of the tree called Calvary. The curse. If you have your Bibles or if you want to make a note, in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13, it says this, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Turn back in your Bible, please, to the book of Genesis. I said a while ago, it all started in the book of Genesis. In chapter 3, when Adam and Eve partook of that tree, disobeyed God, and partook of that fruit. Look, if you will, please, in chapter number 3. And here's the story of what happened to Adam and Eve whenever they partook of that tree. Look at verse number 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. The curse of sin came on this world because of man's disobedience in taking of that tree. And that curse reigned all the way through time. And because of that, because of sin entering into the world through Adam, the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, so the curse passed upon all men. The reason there are cemeteries, the reason there's death, it is because of the curse of sin. But Christ came, my dear friend, to take care of that curse. And there's a curse associated with Calvary, with the tree upon which he died. It's in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. It said this, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. I mean, what sin did and what Adam brought into this world, Christ came and he took care of that curse. He died. The Bible said he was made a curse for us. He was made a curse for us. And it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's tree but he bore all of our curse. Do you remember when Adam sinned, the Bible said God cursed the ground for Adam's sake? Did you know there were no briars? None? Did you know you could have walked through a blackberry patch and eat blackberries that big around and never got scratched before Adam sinned? But when Adam sinned, the earth brought forth thorns and thistles. Did you know that the most beautiful roses we ever bloomed, you could walk right down through all those roses, not one thorn on a rose bush until Adam sinned? But because of that, the Bible said, he said, I'll curse the ground for your sake, and it shall bring forth thorns and thistles. And those were constant reminders of sin in the world. And man began to sweat. Man began to die. From the day Adam ate that fruit, he began to die. And God had a plan before the foundation of the world to redeem man from the curse. And it happened on a tree outside the city of Jerusalem when they took the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said they took him and they beat him. He bore our sins. He bore our sorrows in his own body on that tree. And the Bible says they took and they planted a crown of thorns. Now, I wonder why they did that. There were 10,000 things they could have done. All kind of humiliations they could have done, and they did most they could. But for some strange reason, somebody planted a crown of thorns and put it on his brow. You know why? Because that was a symbol of the curse. And God in his divine providence had them to take the curse from the earth and to put it on his darling son. And he bore all of my sin and all of your sin and the curse that he came on this world because of sin. And there he hangs on that greatest of all Christmas trees, the curse of the tree. Christ hanging there, bearing all of our sins. And that leads me to say this, not only the curse of the tree, but the Christ of the tree. We sing, I love the old rugged cross. And I do. And the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to us it is joy and peace and gladness. And we love the cross. And we love the old cross. But my dear friend, please, please, please be reminded, it's not the cross that saved us. It was the Christ on the cross. That cross, people have used it as an emblem and a symbol and this, that, and the other, and think it has some magical powers. No, it's a piece of wood. It was just a tree. If that piece of tree was sticking up there, that old cross sitting on that hill, you'd not think it was very attractive. You wouldn't think it pretty at all. Just an old rough cut piece of lumber, just hewn out with axes or whatever. And there it stands on that hill. But what adorned that tree is what makes that tree precious. What adorned that tree is what makes that tree beautiful. And I love the Christmas trees, you know, the Fraser firs and the cedars and all those things. And when they're just standing in their environment out on the mountainside up in the mountains of North Carolina, they're beautiful, beautiful to me. But then like the one we have in the fellowship hall, and some of you have at your home, we have at our home, they're decorated. But that old cross wasn't very pretty by itself. I mean, it was just an old piece of wood hanging there. Stuck upon that hill. It'd just been that. It never been nothing. It wouldn't mean a thing. It wouldn't have been good for anything except for what was hung on that cross that day. And that's the Christ of the cross. The song said a while ago, it said it. The glitter of the tree. Oh, the glitter of that tree. What made it so special? When I think about a Christmas tree, we all think about the glitter and the brilliance of it. Well, what made that tree beautiful was it had the light of the world on it. I mean, it had light, but it was the light of the world. His light's so brilliant, the Bible says that in heaven there are no lights there. There's no sun, no moon, and there's no light because he is the light thereof. And thank God for his brilliance. Thank God for his light. He's the light. Christ of the cross. He's the light of that cross. He's the bright. You know, most of the time when they have a tree, they put something. My wife puts a bow up there, but a lot of times people put a star up on top of the tree. And that tree at Calvary had a star on it too. It's called the Bright and Morning Star. He's the decorations of that cross. He's the Bright and Morning Star. My dear friend, he was that star that glorified that tree was the Lord Jesus Christ. The beauty of Calvary, the beauty of that tree was Christ himself. The brightness of that tree was Christ himself. But you know, most of the time we think about a tree and we think about gifts. We think about the gifts of the tree. My dear friend, there's no greater gift than is demonstrated on that tree. The Bible says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the great gift of God, and he hung him on a tree. when you gather around a tree and there are gifts all up under that tree, you'll be reminded of the great gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died for you that you might have life. And then not only do I think about that, the beauty of that tree, and not only I think about the gift of that tree, but I think about the memories. Most of you, as you begin to put up your trees, you think about memories. Now, you've been around as long as me and Regina have. Your trees are loaded with memories, not just thoughts of days gone by and your family and your grandchildren gathering around the tree, and then some humorous stories and some other things that happen around the trees. But most of you have gathered up over the years little treasures. I mean, little ornaments that your children made for you in elementary school. And they're hanging up there. Little ornaments that have pictures of children and grandchildren and loved ones. Little special gifts that a friend gave you. In the tree that we put up every year, we've got inside of that tree a nail, a long nail that Debbie Bird gave us one time. And it speaks of the real meaning of Christmas. So we always hang that old long spike up in that tree to remind us of the tree when Christ hung on that tree. But my dear friend, around that tree are many memories. Many memories and wonderful thoughts are there. And it's a place where families gather. And my dear friend, the greatest joy in all the world is when God's people and families gather around the cross of Calvary. It's there where memories were made. It's there where joys were for eternity were fashioned. It's where we came and knelt and gave our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We came part of the family of God. Oh, what memories we have of that old rugged cross and how God did what He did for us, and thank the Lord for it. Listen, thank God for the Christ of the tree. But I come now lastly to say this very briefly. We have at our home, we have a white Christmas tree. And then we've got a green Christmas tree. And trees are different colors. But that tree on Calvary, not only was there was a curse associated with that tree and Christ on that tree, but that tree had a color on it. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, what color was the tree? Was it a brilliant green like our evergreens? No. Was it white and glistening and all? No, wasn't that at all. And we sing the song, it was an old rugged cross, but it was a colored cross. And I find that in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven, through the blood of His cross. You say, Brother Billy, what color was that tree? It was blood red. It was stained and soaked with the blood of your dear Savior, my dear Savior. From the top of that cross, across the beams, and running down that cross to the ground, it was stained with the blood of the Creator of this universe, the Savior of the world. The cross that I'm talking about, the tree I'm talking about, was colored red. It was red for the shed blood of Christ. My dear friend, that blood is the only way you can ever be saved. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And the Bible said in the book of Revelation, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Whatever you've ever done, anything you've ever committed, that blood of that cross can cleanse you today. And thank God for that. The color of the cross of Calvary, the color of that tree, that greatest of all Christmas trees, is red. Stained red with the Creator of that tree, the one who planted that tree, the one who fashioned that tree, the one who hung on that tree. That cross was stained red with His own blood. My dear friend, can I ask you a question? Have you experienced that saving blood? But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And the Bible said we are now justified through that blood. That blood justifies us just as if we'd never sinned. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid all your sin debt, paid all my sin debt. And when we come to receive that great gift, my friend, what a joy it is. Around the Christmas tree in a few days, Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, many people gather. And there'll be gifts there. Most of them will have names on those gifts. Somebody's thought enough to go out and purchase a gift. Most of your family, like my family, got where they make Christmas lists of things they'd like to have. And there somebody will go and buy that gift, wrap it with love, write their name on it, put it under that tree. And they'll come together around that tree. Maybe like we do, read the Christmas story, have a good time fellowship. And then one by one, the gifts are given out. Name's already on it. Already bought and paid for. Already somebody has done everything necessary for them to enjoy that gift. But they have to receive it. And my dear friend, Christ on that greatest of all Christmas trees has already purchased for you what you need. He shed His own blood to purchase redemption and everlasting life for everybody in the sound of my voice. But you need to come to the tree. You need to gather around the tree. And you need to say to Him, Lord Jesus, I receive You as my Savior and Lord. I want to be saved by the grace of God. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a matter of you turning from your sin and turning to the Savior to receive that greatest of all gifts. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed. The tree. Here's the greatest of all Christmas trees. It's a tree that has a curse on it. He bore that curse in His own body on the tree, signified by the crown of thorns. It has Christ on it, our Redeemer. He suffered and bled and died. He's the bright morning star. He's the light of the world. And He illumines that cross and makes that cross beautiful, makes it precious. But you and I know He's not on that cross. He's off the cross now, and He's risen, and He's alive forevermore. And He is coming now to say to you, the blood of that cross was shed for you. The gift has your name on it. I don't know everybody's name in this building. A good many of you I do. I don't know hardly any in the radio audience or internet audience. But can I say something to you? Before this world was ever fashioned and formed, before that seed of that tree ever was planted by God, before it ever broke the soil and the first little shoot came out and that tree began to grow, before it ever fashioned and formed its first limbs and then foliage and then received rain and nutrition from that ground and grew to whatever height that had to be, before it was ever cut down, before the limbs were ever cut off, before the cross was ever fashioned, He knew your name. And on that cross, He bore all of your sin. And on that cross, He shed His blood. And on that cross, He paid for your eternal salvation. And He says, if you'll come to Him, call on Him, He'll save you now.